This morning I would like to share with you a few thoughts on from scripture and also a few thoughts on being freed from the fear of death. We read in the Bible that the fear of death is the greatest fear that human beings face. And that is recorded in Hebrews, if you would turn your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says here, "Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same." That means Jesus came in our flesh, like just like you and me, taking the form of a man, just like you and me, and flesh and blood. He was exactly like us when he came on earth. He didn't come as God like many people in Christendom believe, that because he was God, he was able to overcome everything and all. That's not really true. He became a man. He kept aside all his divine privileges and prerogatives, and he humbled himself. Like it says in Philippians chapter 2, he became exactly like you and me. And he partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And that he might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives, it says. That means humankind was subject to slavery. That means they were slaves to fear of death. Fear of death is the greatest fear that man ever has. I have come across some people, they are scared, dead scared to die. Even though they are in their 80s and 90s, they are mortally scared. I don't know why. Maybe they are not ready. But why should you wait till you are ready, till you are 80, 90, and then still you are not ready to go? It is something that we really need to think about. You know, when Adam was created, maybe we'll turn there to chapter 3 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, last part. See, after Adam and Eve sinned, God, he spoke this word. He said to Adam, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." See, when God made Adam, he took a lump of dust and he created Adam out of that. And when Adam was created, he got up and he walked away. And the rest of the mud was left back. That is exactly what is going to happen when Christ comes, when he takes away his people, away from this sin-cursed world. He takes his people away and rest of the dust will be left behind. And that is those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation and have not accepted his substitutionary death on the cross. And those are the particles of dust that will be left behind. And those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, they will be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And this verse says that we were made out of dust, and to dust shall we return. And it is appointed unto men, it says in Hebrews, once to die, and after that the judgment. This is God's, undeniable laws are these. It's appointed unto men once to die, and thereafter it's judgment. We are not going to be born or get reincarnated again and again like some faiths believe. God has made us to live and to come on this planet for a while and be here and then be gone one day. That is how life is. The Bible speaks of our life as breath, as a shadow, as a mist that is like a fog. You see in winter days, foggy morning, and after the sun comes up, the fog disappears. Man's life is like that. He is there for a moment and then he is gone. A moment in God's sight, maybe 100 years. And I hope you know that every human being born on this planet has to die one day. And nobody has come here to live permanently. We better face up to that fact and live a ready life, ready to meet the Lord. And when we are sick, we go to doctors. And I hope you know that doctors also fall sick. And eventually they also die. When we are sick, we go to them, thinking that they will, fix our illnesses. Yes, they do. But they are also like you and me. Flesh and blood, loaded down with many ailments like any other human being. And they also ultimately die. Have you ever seen any doctor living for more than 150 years? Nobody. And most of those who lived longer are not doctors. They are simple people who worked hard and ate properly and exercised, and they lived longer than the doctors. And we need to understand that one day we all are destined to leave this earth. And all that we are and all that we have and all that we have accumulated, our knowledge, our wealth, property, whatever it is, one day we all have to leave it. The moment a person stops breathing, he becomes history. And he leaves behind everything, not even a thread he can carry with him. Everything will be somebody else's. I remember reading a rich man, he took his pastor once to his land and showed him a huge property. And he asked him, when the pastor came, he asked him, "Who do you think owns this property?" And that pastor was a wise man. He told him, "You ask me this question 100 years from now, and you know who it belongs to." You know, brothers and sisters, we think, we all like to think that we are not going to die, we are going to live forever. But that is not true. We don't even know what may happen next moment or next hour, because our life is so uncertain. And that is what the Lord said, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." We read about, we read in Ecclesiastes 3:19. Ecclesiastes, that comes after Proverbs. This is also written by King Solomon. Ecclesiastes 3:19 or 20. 19 and 20. "For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man or beast. All go to the same place all came from the dust, and to dust shall they return. This is again emphasized here. So we all came from dust, and to dust shall we return. We rather be ready for our home calling. So don't be scared, my dear brothers and sisters. We are not here to live permanently, none of us. You know, even the godliest men who lived in history, right from Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, and John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, Peter, all godly people who lived, and who some of them even raised the dead, like Elijah and Elisha, and Paul and Peter. Those who were raised from the dead, ultimately they also died. And those who raised these people from the dead, they also died. I hope you know how fleeting life is, how transient, how temporary life is. There's a verse in Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know my end and what it is. I mean, what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Means how temporary, how fleeting my life is. Behold, thou hast made my days as handbreadths and my lifetime as nothing in thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. It is something like, you know, when our time comes, it is like we shed our clothes. Our life, our body is like, the Bible says, put on and put off. And our body is like our outer covering. Actually, the inner man in you is the real you. I am a spirit, you are a spirit. And we have a soul, and we live in a body. And when the Lord calls us home, we shed this body, which is also called a tent in the Bible. And it is also called a clay jar or mud pots. It's made out of mud. And we glory in this mud so much. Oh, my color of the skin is little better than that. And things like that. What is it? Ultimately, it's all taken from the same ground, right? So why do we boast about our colors and look down upon somebody who is colored? They call it, for black people, they call it colored. You know, their color is fast color that never goes. Your color may change, you who glory in white skin. It says, surely a man at his best is a mere breath. And surely every man walks about as a phantom. You know what is phantom? A spirit. Walks like a spirit. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. This is the fate of every man. You know that instance where Elisha the prophet was buried, and some enemy's dead body fell into his grave and touched his bone, it says. And when it happened, you can read that in 2 Kings 13, verse 21. When his body fell into Elisha's tomb, that shows to me that Elisha didn't have a proper burial like the rich man and Lazarus. He had a burial, but Elisha, it looks like he was just probably he didn't even have a coffin, because if he had a coffin, probably he would be safe inside the coffin. But it says that the dead body's bones touched this man, Elisha's bones, and that dead body came alive. He became alive. You know, even Elisha died, but even after his death, there was power in his dead bones. That means his bones were visible. They were sticking out. That means he didn't have a proper burial, probably. That's what I guess. So, when things are like this, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to waken up. The only psalm that Moses ever wrote was Psalm 90. And in that he says a verse, Psalm 90 verse 12. He says, "So teach us to number our days, so that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom." You know, this is a man who wrote that our life is 70 years by virtue of strength, 80. But this is a man who lived 120 years. And he writes here, "Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may present unto thee a heart of wisdom." A heart of wisdom. That is important, that we live in this world and we count every day as if it is a gift from God and as if it is our last day on earth. Like somebody says, live as if this is your last day on earth and plan as if you are going to live the next 100 years. There's nothing wrong in planning, but it is all the more important that we be ready for His coming or for our home call. Like for instance, today, if the Lord were to call you, how many of us are ready to just take off from here? I don't want you to raise your hands. Just ask yourself, am I ready? If the Lord comes right now, or maybe He calls me, my time is up. Am I ready to leave everything as it is and say, "Lord, I'm ready"? I heard very few people saying that even when they are on their deathbed. They want to still live longer. I don't know why. Is this world means so much to you that you regret leaving this? And the Lord said, I am going to prepare a place for you. After I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and to receive you unto myself. For where I am, there you must be also," He said to His disciples. And when the Lord has gone to prepare a better place for us and a place of eternal bliss and eternal rest and all the glories of heaven, are we more enthralled by this world's pleasure and riches and glory that we regret leaving this? That's pathetic. We should be ready to go, "Lord, I don't want to live in this sin-cursed, corrupt world. I don't want to shed this body and go and be with the Lord, with You. Having a glorified body and to be experiencing the joys of heaven, the glories of heaven, falling down at before Your throne, worshipping You along with millions and millions of angels and saints. If that is not my longing, then what is my longing?" My dear brothers and sisters, don't love this world nor the things of this world. all that this world offers will one day come to an end. We all have to leave the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We have to leave behind everything and go. So be ready to meet the Lord. Be prepared to meet your Lord, the Bible says. So it is very important to understand how brief our life is. And also I would like to turn your attention to a psalm, a lovely psalm written by David, Psalm 139. Verse 16. Or maybe I'll read from verse 14 onwards. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when even as yet there was not one of them. That means even when I didn't start my first day, according to this verse, it says, even when I was being formed in my mother's womb, God knit you and me together. And He was preparing us. He was creating us to be born on a particular day. Even when the first day was not even come, it says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. That means God knows me. And there's a verse in Ephesians, it says, He has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. I mean, if it was not written in the Bible, I wouldn't believe that. But because it is God's word, I do. Even before He created the world, leave alone Adam and Eve, who came later on, even before He created the world, God had you and me in His mind. We were conceived in God's mind. And God thought about us that we should be born in the 20th or 21st century. And we are glad that we are here at this time. And this verse says that God wrote everything about me and the days ordained for me, how many days I have to live on this earth. God ordained it and He wrote it in His book. That is God's wisdom. You know, maybe 30 to 40% of the people sitting here, we have lived our life more than what's left for us to live. If you're 40 or 50, you don't have much time to live, brother or sister. Sorry to say that. You will not be living another 50 years if you're already 50. Because that's very rarely people live up to be 100 years. So we have lived more than what is left for us to live. I'm already 65. I don't know, in the next 15 years I'll be 80. So John will be 65. So anyway, we have to face the fact, dear brothers and sisters, that one day or the other we all have to leave this place. And we all have to meet. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Am I ready? That is the question. If I am not, today is the day, and now is the time. You can repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask Him to cleanse you, wash you, and make you a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, it says. Old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become children of God. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquities And when our sins are washed and cleansed and we have become children of God, we look forward to the coming of the Lord, and in anticipation, because we love Him, we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. John the Apostle, he lived to be 95 or so, and he had walked with the Lord for 65 years or something, and he knew how pleasant it was to live in the presence of the Lord, even when he was here on earth, and even after he was taken up, he was in constant communion with Him, and he enjoyed His presence so much that he says His commandments are not burdensome. Are God's commandments burdensome to you? That means you are not in a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love somebody, you will go out of the way, extra mile, to help and to please them. And if you love the Lord, you will do it much more. And the commandments of the Lord will not be a burden to you. And in His presence, the Bible says, His fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When we have a Father like that, who wants to give His very best, and He gave all that He had, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the center of attraction in heaven. He was the fairest of 10,000, the only begotten Son of God. The Father gave for you and me so that we could be redeemed, bought back, cleansed and washed and redeemed by the blood of Christ, and be His children and be born into His family and become His children. And that's why He has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts, whereby we address Him, Abba and Father. So brothers and sisters, that is our calling, and that is our preparation to be here on this earth. On this earth we are here like pilgrims, we are sojourners, and our life here on earth is like we sitting at airports, heaven's airports, waiting lounge, waiting for our boarding call, and when the time comes, we should be prepared to take off. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, and if our citizenship is in heaven, why do we live here on this earth as if this is our homeland? This is not our homeland. Like we sing in one of those songs, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. I'm a sojourner, I'm a pilgrim. And even Jacob said that to Pharaoh, I'm a pilgrim. My pilgrimage, I've lived as of now about 130 years or something like that. So our citizenship is in heaven, my brothers and sisters, yours also. And you know, when your visa comes, when you get, let's say, a green card, are you happy or sad? How many of you would throw that in the trash can and say, no, I don't want to go? Everybody wants to go to the US these days. They wait for their green card. But the Bible says your citizenship is not in USA, but it's in heaven. Are you dreading to go there? Or you are just longing to go there to meet your bridegroom? Like some of the girls who get engaged and they're looking forward to the wedding day. You know, they forget about everything. They forget about the father, mother, house. They even give up their job, everything. They just want to go and be with the bridegroom. Even on this earth, bridegroom with so many faults and weaknesses and all that, He is not a perfect bridegroom. There is no perfect bridegroom here on earth, and neither is there any perfect bride here. So they want to check out everything and want to be with the bridegroom. And if they are willing for an earthly thing like that, are we dreading to meet a bridegroom who gave his life and purchased us and bought us, and he crushed, like we read in that verse in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, he took away the power of death from him who had that power earlier. And now it is in his hands. He says, I have the keys of death and life. And when I close, nobody can open it. When I open it, nobody can close it. He has the keys of death and life. And comfort, dear brothers and sisters, comfort with these words one another. One last word I would like to close with, that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 54 onwards, it says, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Dear brothers and sisters, comfort one another with these words. And let us be ready and look forward anxiously for the coming of the Lord or our last day on this earth. Be prepared to take off. Be ready. Be freed from the power of the fear of death and live in victory always. Live with your face towards the Lord and with your head lifted up, and don't be burdened by the cares of this world, and be carefree in the care of God. May God bless His words. We'll sing a song and then afterwards we'll hear our brother.
Praise the Lord for His word, and may the Lord fill our heart with His Spirit so that we will be a witness for such a glorious life, a life of rest and joy. That was the life manifested by Jesus. Let's see here in Hebrews chapter 3, starts with a holy brother in partakers of heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him. He lived 33 and a half years. He was faithful. He didn't live. He didn't plan for 33 and a half years, but he lived one day at a time. He encouraged us to live one day at a time. And he was faithful. And as we continue to read here in chapter 3 about not to harden our heart when we hear his voice, and later it talks about unbelief, peril of unbelief. Then chapter 4 verse 1 says, therefore, let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. This is what comes to my heart. When Jesus has given us such a wonderful example of living in rest, despite of whatever his circumstances, I always think about first time he came into a public ministry. When he preached, he was taken to the cliff, dragged him to the cliff, and they wanted to kill him. from that day. Even when the time he was born, Satan was after him to kill. Herod passed an order to kill all the children, but they could not kill Jesus. That was the circumstances and situations Jesus lived. But here it says, promise remains of entering his rest. His rest. In the world, we don't have rest. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome. Jesus lived such a wonderful life of rest. As we read in chapter 2, Hebrews 2, verse 14. Then the children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Jesus, how Jesus manifested his life, even just before his death, he told his disciples, I'm going to die. But you know how he lived on that last day? I think some time back we heard Zach sharing about that. Matthew chapter 26. Yeah, I think verse 30 we read that. After singing a hymn, they went out to Mount of Olives. Jesus, knowing well that he's going to die, he had a praise and worship time along with his disciples. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. He was very clear that he is going to be dead. But that verse 32 says, after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. See, this is the faith. See, entering into his rest. That means, even in Hebrews, we read in the first verse, chapter 1. After God spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. He has spoken to us in his Son. That's very important, whatever we heard today. In fact, Jesus referred once to Pharisees, you search the scriptures diligently. I think John 5:39. But you don't understand. All that scriptures talks about me, but you are unwilling to come to me. This is what we may also do. We search the scriptures, we read or hear sermons, but we may not be able to hear if we are not attentive. We may not be able to understand Jesus and how Jesus lived. We may not be able to see Jesus more clearly. So then what happens? Unbelief comes. That's what happened. In fact, verse 3 of chapter 4. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said. But as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter the rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. It means God was angry with those who were not believing and entering into this rest. And Jesus was very clear. In verse 32, we read here in Matthew 26, he was very clear that he's going to, the Bible in fact calls death as falling asleep, just going to sleep for a while and getting up and entering into his kingdom. And we all can live with that faith as Jesus lived. Jesus was very clear. He just he was dead and he rose again, and he was there with the disciples. He prepared breakfast for them and spoke to them, encouraged them. He appeared to more than 500, it says. And he just passed on. I mean, he went ahead and he said, I'll be there with you. He sent the Holy Spirit. So we can live with that kind of a rest, that kind of faith, or that kind of life if we are in touch with Jesus. That's our calling. In fact, if you turn to Luke chapter 12, I was thinking something here, what Jesus said. It's very important because, we are living in a world uncertain, and so many things happen, so many things go wrong. And Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. We may have so many things going wrong, but for a small thing, we may lose our rest and peace, and we may lose our salvation. Hebrews 2 says, we have such a great salvation, be afraid that you may lose it, you may drift away from it. By small, small things. I have come across so many people, even believers say that, brother, I can't forgive so-and-so. I can't get over it. So-and-so have done this, and somebody has cheated, somebody has not given what they are supposed to give me, a job or so many situations, husband and wife relationship, many, many petty things can take our rest. Why rest goes? When the faith goes, rest goes. When we have faith, we have rest. Faith in Jesus, and when we receive that life will sustain us through every situation, every shaking, every temptation, every difficulties. And here I want to read from Luke 12, verse 13. Here Jesus said, someone in the crowd said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. He was asking something, I think the righteous portion. But Jesus said, man, who appointed me judge or arbiter over you? He was not interested, because Jesus knew what was his priority, what is God's priority for his life. Beware, be on the guard against every form of greed. You know, Jesus called even that righteous portion, desiring relentlessly his greed. And not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, a land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down the barns, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for my many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and marry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. See, very clear what we heard earlier. See, but this man, you see how many times, I will tear down, I will store, I will say, all this I can blind our eyes from Jesus, from seeing Jesus. When we lose our sight on Jesus, then all these other things will become important, and we have to grumble, complain about all these things which looks like I'm losing it. And that will take my faith away, and that will take my rest away. Then when I don't have rest, I cannot face death. I will lose my standing before God. That's what Jesus was saying to this person. You fool, very night your soul will be required. Verse 21, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We can collect our riches in heaven now itself by living before God, living in faith. So I would like to read one more verse in James. Maybe I would like to read it in Living Message Bible. James 4, 15 or 14, I can read from. I remember when I was talking to Brother Zach. He said, some don't understand. If the Lord willing, I'll come when I say, they think, oh, you mean to say, brother, you're not coming? Something like that. So, are you coming or not? If the Lord wills, I'll come, I say. Then, in fact, Brother Zach corrected me. See, if you read John, you read that verse, it says, if the Lord wills, if I am alive, I will come. That also should be added. That's what here the scripture says. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. I'm reading from Message. You are nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make it a habit to say, if the Master wills it and we are still alive, we will do this or that. That's how we need to live. This is the life of rest. It's not a passive statement. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to have a proper standing before God, blameless and clean before God. My conscience, I want to keep my conscience. I'm ready to lose anything. So we have heard from Brother Zach and Brother Ian, we have seen the life. Those who walked ahead of us. And here, that's what we read. And in fact, a parallel passage we read in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we read here verse 19. Do not lay up yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where the thieves do not break or steal. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us strive to have this kind of rest in our life, so that we are ready to leave this earth any moment. So we can think of those who lived, burnt at stake and killed. Even James was killed. One of the apostles was killed. One of the disciples was killed very early. So we can die in rest and peace. So Paul, who saw the face of Stephen, he was stoned to death. And Paul was watching him the way he died. He died in rest. His face was radiant. And he said, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That was the spirit. When Paul saw that spirit, he was shaken to the core. And he said, should I follow this kind of life? Where God is my God right or his God right? See, those things started coming into his life. We can be witness. If we live in that kind of life and rest and peace, then we, without speaking a word, we can be witness to our children, our neighbors in our church. That is impossible without being filled with the Holy Spirit. I would like to remind you that verse where Isaiah, 8:13 says, if you fear God, you need fear nothing. We fear death or many other things because maybe we don't fear God. We don't fear sin. We don't fear unrest. We don't fear unbelief. Because of that, we fear death. May the Lord help us to live a worthy life before Him. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, I believe our hearts are challenged and warmed by hearing. We heard about Stephen, who was a witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and we are reminded of that our life is such short life. Maybe I would like to turn to this verse in the book of Job, chapter 14. Job chapter 14, it says, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower he comes forth and withers. And he also flees like a shadow and does not remain. And verse 5 it says, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. So when I read this verse, my days are determined and the number of my months is with the Lord, it should not give me a wrong fear. It should give me a boldness. Jesus knew that he used to say, my time has not come. We should be able to say that my time has not come. My work on earth is not yet completed. What a great privilege. We can have that boldness. We don't need to fear death. We heard about Elijah. When we read that in the book of Kings, when the queen wanted to kill him, he said, "It's enough." He went down and sat before the juniper, the tree, and he was depressed and discouraged. And we heard about Stephen, though the storms were coming to him, what which flowed out of him was not despair, not discouragement, but love and forgiveness. What a great privilege, dear brothers and sisters, we can see, live such a life. I read of a man who lived in 1500s, and there was another king, the queen of England. She was supporting the Catholic Church, and this man was the first martyr under this queen. And he was a Protestant preacher, and while he was being executed, led to be executed, and they gave him a chance to recant his teaching. And he said, "What I preached, I will seal with my blood." We don't need to be excited, but we can be full of hope, full of courage, full of faith, that we can forgive others and to receive the forgiveness of the Lord. And we had that psalm, we sang Psalm 23 today. It says, He leads me in the valley of the shadow of death. I will not fear, because the Lord is with me. Remember, before he was led to the valley of the shadow of death, he was led to green pastures, he was led to quiet waters, and he was restored. God's word promises that he will not test us beyond what we are able. What a great promise, what a great privilege, dear brothers and sisters. So I want to end with this verse in 1 John chapter 2 verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 verse 28. Now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. We heard about how we could prepare for our marriage like a bride waiting for his bridegroom. Do we have something shameful in our lives which we will be ashamed if the Lord comes right now? So the day of salvation is today. May we seek to examine our hearts, our lives. Is there anything in our hearts? It says in the next chapter, in verse 2, 1 John 3 verse 2. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. How many of us really ask the Lord, "Lord, I want to see your face. I really want to see your face." Or are we shameful? Do we have to hang our head in shame when the Lord comes? It says a person who has such a hope in verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him, purify himself just as he is pure. Let's seek to follow in this way, dear brothers and sisters. Let's examine our hearts and ask ourselves, am I ready? Am I ready for his coming? I think of what the words Brother Zach wrote on his scooter, "Ready to meet your Lord," and the Lord is coming. Let's prepare our hearts, even children, young people. Let's prepare our hearts to meet the Lord. Let's not fear. Let's not have a wrong fear. Let's have faith instead. Let's believe the promises of the Lord. The scripture says, if anyone confess his sin, he is righteous and just to forgive. And may the Lord lead each one of us in this life of faith, the life of victory, and the life of boldness and love and faithfulness. May God help us.
Shall we respond to God's word, what we heard? Let's bow down. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice this day And be glad in it because it's from you, given to us as a gift. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for this gathering. We pray, Father, that you will so enlighten our inner being that we will turn our eyes away from this world upon Jesus, so the things of this world will become strangely dim and become dimmer and dimmer by the day, so that, Lord, we will live in the light of eternity and we will long to meet you, our bridegroom, and live in readiness all the days of our life. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help each one of us to make the decision and to live in that anticipation of your coming, that we will be ready when our time comes, Lord Jesus, that we'll be able to go with rejoicing in our heart, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, we thank you that you're well able to do that and that you will help us to live the rest of our life with hope, with joy, and with thankfulness in our hearts. Thank you for this time and pray that you will bless all the families represented here. Pray that you will help us to be all that you want us to be. Thank you for this day and this hour. We bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.